Chazon East, Chazon East is Rabbi Yeshaya Karlitz, and he was a great rabbi, lived in the 20th century, a big posek in Bnei Brak. And one time he saw a man, and he saw a little boy. It was after a wedding, it was late at night. And he decided to walk this boy home because he looked a little scared. I heard a very similar story about Rav Kook. If you guys know anything about the political spectrum, you know Rav Kook and Chazon East are kind of on different sides of political spectrums. But Rav Kook was a little boy, and he saw an old man, and he came late. Rav Kook, as a five-year-old boy, came late back to his tati and mommy. They said, "Why were you late?" And he said, "Because I saw this old man. I thought he would probably need a little extra help to get him home, so he walked him home." So you see, Rav Kook on one side of the spectrum, and the Chazon Ish on the other side of the spectrum, maybe different views on certain things, but they're midos. They were both gedolim. And in that sense, they're very, very, very close. And so I bless you guys when you're walking around the Rova the next year. You're by 2 weeks from now, you're going to be experts in the Rova. And you're going to see everyone's going to start asking you directions. And it's a great feeling. And sometimes you're going to be in a rush. And I bless you guys to be like the Chazon Ish and Rav Kook. Take an extra minute out of your day. Show them the whole way. Don't just be like, go there, whatever. They'll get totally confused. Walk them a little extra, like a gadol would. And you'll see the smile on their face, and it really makes a big impact. Yeah, welcome. Okay, that was just a little gadol story. Now I want to open up on the parsha, something really interesting. A chiddush that I had, I hope you guys like it. So, in chapter 20, verse 8, the Torah recounts, I'll read it for you guys, how when you're going to war, the Kohen has to warn the people about certain people who get an exemption from going to war. Okay? There's four different people who get an exemption. Let's go through it. So it says, Dabrash Otimelam Lemor, Miyaish, who is the man? Oh no, let me even preface it. First he says, Shmaita, listen. Al Yirach Levchem, don't be soft hearted. Don't be scared. You have to go to the war, be passionate. Yashem Lakin, because God goes before you. And then it says, there's a man who built a new house and did not dedicate it, he's exempt, right? Who's the second guy who's exempt? If you made a vineyard and you didn't have a chance to finish up the process, go home. You engaged a woman halachically, but you didn't marry her, go home. Okay? And finally, who is the man who's soft-hearted? He too goes home. Okay? So there are four different people who go home in the middle of the war. The first is someone, let's go through it, who built a house and he didn't finish dedicating it. The second is someone who had a
vineyard.
And the third is someone who had a wife or engaged. And the fourth is someone who was scared. Now, which one of these things is not like the other things? The last one. All right. Clearly, this one seems to be of a different category. So what is there a relationship between the first category of people and the second category of people? That's my question. Okay, of people who get exempted from war. By the way, just interesting side note, this actually kind of happened to me. I actually got married right when Tzuk Eitan broke out and there was a war, and I had to ask the shaylas to my rebbeim, should I go to war or should I stay with my wife? There's a whole interesting situation going on there, but this actually happened in my life.
So which that's one was that again? Tzuk Eitan?
Yeah,
which
like 3 years ago. 3 years ago. I don't know what it was in English. Something like that. Yeah, my buddies got called up. I wasn't called up, and the question was, I just got married 3 weeks earlier. It was a whole situation. I didn't go up. It was a whole story. Anyways, that's a good story for another time. So what's the relationship between these two? So interestingly, the Gemara itself, in the Gemara in Sotra, Yossi Aglili has a fascinating theory. He says that the whole reason that the Torah exempts all of these other exemptions about the house and the field and whatever, because the person's going to be scared because of his sins. And then he's going to be embarrassed to leave. But if he knows that people are going to think that he's just getting married or he just has a vineyard, and he won't be so embarrassed. And he'll be able to leave and nobody will think badly about him. So all of these exemptions are just an out for him to not be embarrassed. And it shows the incredible care that the Torah shares to not embarrass this person. That itself is a very fascinating perspective. But I don't know if that's pshat, because then it could have just been any exemption. It could have been, and who is the man who has a pink shirt? He gets out, right? But then, so therefore, I have a different theory. You guys tell me if you think it makes sense. A person's weak-hearted, faint-hearted, he's going to kill the morale of the nation, right? Because he's going to take away everyone's excitement for going to war. Perhaps that's the common link. A person who's going to war, he's thinking about his wife, thinking about his house, he's going to be distracted. His heart's not in it, and therefore he too will be taking away from the morale of his brothers. And that's the common link between these four situations. Anyone who's distracted is going to take away. And therefore, instead of being half-hearted in this war, we say, you know what, just go home and deal with your stuff, so that the people who are in the war can be focused on making it work. You guys with me? You following? And that is the common link between these four situations, that everyone needs to be full-hearted in their going into war together. Okay? Adkan my chiddush. And now I want to do part two. And therefore, what does this have to do with happiness? So what I want to talk right at the beginning of your year is the importance of learning to focus. Not just for you, but also for your friends. Because when you're in a shir, or you're in a chavruta, and you're only half into it, you really take away the energy from your friend. You think you're just learning for yourself, but the truth is, whenever you're in a chavruta or a shir, you are part of the energy of everyone. And I don't know about you guys, but I got into the habit in high school of kind of being distracted all the time, always doing my chemistry homework for my biology for this, and I'm always like in the middle of doing a million things, especially when you have phones. And it's very easy to get distracted, and it's very easy to come into yeshiva and kind of bring that bad habit with you. And what I'm telling us is, don't do that. Don't do that. Be focused, because when you're in that shir or you're in that chavruta, if you're distracted, you're taking away from your friend. Everybody with me so far? In addition, besides for your friend, being focused is actually one of the keys to happiness that a lot of people don't focus upon. They did a very fascinating study. Harvard University did this, where they made an app and they texted people at random times, "Are you happy or not?" And then they compared people who were happy when they were happy and when they weren't happy. And what they found was, interestingly, 47% of the time, we are not focused on whatever we're doing. Could be right at this very moment, you're not focused. You're totally in dreamland with Keith speaking. Could be not. But 47% of the time, we are daydreaming. Okay? It doesn't mean the other 53% of we are focused. It just means could be other states. And what they found, part two, is that when we are daydreaming, even when we're daydreaming of happy things, we are less happy than when we are focused. Other than we are focused on doing anything, we rate ourselves as being happier people than when we are daydreaming, even about happy daydreams. Okay? That itself, in other words, being focused, being connected, being, you know, present, will make us happier. And maybe that's why there's a correlation between our unhappy generation and our unfocused generation. And therefore, learning how to focus is an amazing skill to think about right at the beginning of our year, as we go into this year, to learn how to make that a goal of life, to be focused, okay? Finally, and therefore, what I want to give you guys is, let's say, 5 to 7 tips that I'm talking to myself aloud about how we can be more focused going into a given chavruta or a given shir or in life in general. Sounds good? You with me? Excellent. Okay. Tip number one, this guy. Okay? Get rid of it. Chuck it. Okay? As you all have heard a million times, all the studies show that when the iPhone is in your mind, when you can see it physically, it's much harder to stay focused. Okay? It's much harder. Even if it's there and you silenced it, but if you know it's there, it's much harder. About 40 seconds on average is your attention span when the phone is in the room. Right? And especially if it's in your pocket and you're getting those WhatsApps. Because what happens when you get those WhatsApps, you get this dopamine in your brain. And it's like a hit. It's like a hit of a drug. And it's amazing. And we are an overstimulated generation. We want more. We want more. We want more. But we got to learn to understimulate us so that we can have room to breathe and to connect. And And phones really just kill our ability to be focused. So before you go into the chavrusa, before you deal with all your stuff, check all your WhatsApps, whatever, chuck it away, and then bring it back after your class, after the chavrusa. Make sense?
Good.
Tip number two, write what your goal is. Remind yourself. For me, it helps typing it out or writing it out. Or just think to yourself, why am I learning? Am I connecting to God? Am I trying to develop my Gemara skills? Whatever it is, you can even write it down. I am going to take the next 30 minutes to really focus on what I'm doing. Give yourself your goals. It could be the beginning of your day. Write your goals and focus yourself in that way. Okay? Tip number three, take a breath. For me, singing, also davening, breathing. Okay, take a deep breath, slow your mind down so that you can really connect. Bezrat Hashem, next time we do a shiur together, we'll try to do that. We'll take a breath or sing a song and really connect before we just jump into our distracted minds. Okay, make sense? Good. Number four for me, I kind of mentioned this, pray. Ask for God's help. It's a little crazy, but Rabbi Nachman says, before you learn, you should always daven. Ask for God's help. That's what Birchas HaTorah is all about. That this learning session should really be successful. And something that helps me is also think about the fact, before I go into this chavruta, it affects my faith. Finally, very often we will be distracted, right? That girl, you're in the middle of things, you trying to figure out what's going on. That guy, you're bothered, this, that. It's going to happen. Sometimes I would suggest, deal with it. Don't go to shir. Deal with the issue. Go figure it out. Instead of being half present and half not, deal with the issue. Or if you can't deal with the issue, write to-do list. Right after shir, right after chavrusa, text that guy, deal with that situation. And then you'll be fully present when you're actually in shir together. Okay, so just to summarize, the idea of today was we learned in the Parsha that about the people going to war. I think, or Keith thinks, the point, the connection, but the point is that all these people, whether they're a sinner or a person who is in the middle of something, is distracted, and therefore better not to go to war than to be half distracted. Oh, by the way, I forgot the clincher. I found this in Chazal. Because I'll say, what is the sin that a person is distracted about? Why does he think that he's scared to go to war? Anybody know? Gemara Menachos. What sin specifically? He talks between Shel Yad and Shel Rosh. In other words, he can't finish the goal. He's distracted. He's that type guy who's always, right? So that's, I think that Chazal supports my idea that it's all about being focused. I bless you guys to have a year of focusing, of accomplishing your goals, of making goals, and Bezrat Hashem, it should be the first year of many years of being successful, focused people, and therefore happier people. Bezrat Hashem. Shkoyach, guys, I hope you enjoyed. I'm here on Wednesday afternoons talking about whatever you guys want, random fun topics. So if you become part of the Chevra that comes consistently, then I do both halachic and hashkafic topics, whatever you are interested in, fun topics. It's called Fun Topics with Rav Keith. And Thursday nights, the Simcha Seminar, connecting the Parsha to practical positive psychology. And I'm also happy to get to know you guys on a personal level to answer your questions. I also do Shabbos meals in Gan Soccer, where the whole world is invited. So if you guys are interested, you can get involved with that. And different little chesed projects. I run a little community center in Nachla Ot. And if you guys are interested in doing stuff like that, I'm very happy to get involved. Awesome Torah-ing with you guys.